Just like The View, only without all the annoying broads, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The podcast that suffers from repeated paper cuts. Gravel Gertie has nothing on him, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello, everybody. It is another exciting episode of Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast with your old pal, Uncle Doug. As Drew McMillan just told you, I am your Medicare expert, and I am here to help you feel comfortable about the approaching line that you're going to be crossing someday between Obamacare and Medicare. It is one of these things that sounds a little scary. A lot of people are trepidatious about it, but by the time you have crossed that line with my advice and assistance, you're going to find yourself probably in a better spot with better insurance protection against frighteningly high medical bills and with a level of expense out-of-pocket cost that is going to be very doable for most people. Very reasonable. And that's what we're here for. We're here to help you feel good about that pending transition. One of the ways that happens is the book that inspired this podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man. The 2022 edition is out on sale on Amazon.com. So if you go to the sales page on Amazon.com, after having put Medicare for the Lazy Man 2022 in the search window, you're going to find that there are four editions that you can choose from. There is a hardcover, there is a paperback, there is a Kindle version, and there is an Audible version, which is basically a talking book. I think that's what they used to call them. So you can buy a talking book and then have me talking to you constantly. I don't know of anybody that wants to hear me talk that much, but if it's easy for you to gain knowledge about the Medicare process through listening and maybe taking a few notes, then I would suggest the Audible book. Otherwise, the paperback at $8 is a very reasonably priced way of learning about Medicare. But in any event, once you've read my book, you will be the person on your block with the greatest depth of Medicare knowledge, and you're going to be very proud of that, I predict. Anyway, so here we are on the first of our two podcast episodes that we record on a Thursday, and I'm going to ask that Randy play our 30-second radio spot, and the way I ask him to do that is to clam up. So I'm going to clam up right now and see what happens. Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever. Thank you, Randy. An excellent job, as always. By the way, I assume you're out there because you just played that radio spot. So why don't you join us in the podcast, Randy? How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for asking, Doug. You know what? My mind works in strange and wondrous ways. Some people
That's what I've
say
heard.
Wondrous, but some people would say strange.
Yeah, I've heard all kinds of adjectives describing you, the way your mind works.
What popped into my mind, and I don't know just exactly why, other than the fact that we're getting close to the 4th of July.
Uh-huh.
And the thing that popped into my head was, you remember an old episode on WKRP in Cincinnati?
Oh, I swear, as God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Yes. I for some strange reason, that just popped into my head. I swear to God, I thought turkeys could fly as thousands of maybe hundreds of turkeys.
Hundreds, yeah.
Were hitting the ground at about, do you know what the terminal speed is when you're falling?
Well, for humans, it's in the neighborhood of 90 miles an hour.
Yeah, depending on how big you are and how loose your clothing are, it can be as much as 122. So I think the turkeys were probably doing about 122 when they hit the ground.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. They're built like, well, that's why they call them butter balls, I guess. They're built like like cannonballs, at least domesticated turkeys are. Well, exactly. I got to tell you, you mentioned 4th of July. Mary accosted me this morning and she said, you know that Fry's Stores, which is a big supermarket chain in the Phoenix area, she said, do you know that Fry's Stores are owned by Kroger? And I said, not only do I not know that, I don't think I really care. And she said, well, here's the deal. Kroger has announced that they're pulling all of their patriotic tchotchke off the shelves. Now, I'd like to think that that's just an ugly lie that somebody put out there, that the whole chain, nationwide chain, is deciding that they don't want to promote patriotism on the 4th of July. But I suggested that she might not want to go near a Fry's store if that's the case. And she was perturbed at this story, too. So
I will. If that's true, Doug, you be sure and let me know, because I will never set foot in another Fry's store.
Well, I'm right there with you. And Mary is the same way. But it just sounds too unbelievable to me, because many national chains of stores celebrate and promote their, they use 4th of July as an excuse to advertise. We're having a 4th of July sale. How often have you heard that with various companies? Oh,
if I've heard that 1,000 times, I've heard it 1,000,000 times.
So this doesn't sound realistic to me that Kroger would all of a sudden just decide to announce that they're pulling all of their flags and paraphernalia off of the store's shelves. That doesn't seem right. But if it's true, then they have drawn a line in the sand, and I'm going to step all over that line.
Well, the other thing that makes it sound a little bit unbelievable, now in today's world, I'll believe anything, truthfully.
Yeah.
Stranger things have happened. But I've got a good buddy of mine that's in the beer business.
Uh-huh.
And they are absolutely on point when it comes to patriotic stuff for 4th of July. I mean, they have the 4th of July 12 packs. I mean, you name it.
Yeah.
They even go to the store, they're route men, and they even go to the store and build big piles of those things that look like a flag. I mean, come on.
Well, God love them. I had Mary get a 12 pack of Budweiser, because our neighbor across the street likes to come over and he doesn't like to carry that heavy can of beer all the way across the street. So,
oh my gosh, get him a two wheeler.
I stock some for him and it is a hugely patriotic box that it came in. So I was happy to see that. And I really hope this whole thing about Kroger and Fry's is not correct. I'd like to think it's an ugly rumor.
Well, if they do that, I'll be checking on it. And if you hear anything, you let me know, because I'm scratching Fry's right off my list.
Yeah, you do the same. Let me know what you find out.
That'll cause me to have to start shopping at someplace else. And I'll pay double if I have to, because
me too.
I want them to know that they just made a bad mistake.
Well, one of my favorite chains of stores locally was always Bosch's. And yeah. I was told that they sold out to a larger company. Now, I don't know if they're doing anything unpatriotic, but I was told.
Yeah, I forget Margaret used to be in the, consumer packaged goods business, mm-hmm. grocery store food, chickens, you name it. she was in that business, so she knows all of that stuff. I'll have to, I think she told me at one point in time that Bosch has sold out. I don't know to who.
Yeah,
but they did sell out, and I'll have to check with my consumer packaged goods expert to see who that was.
Well, if you're ever out wandering around in your car far afield, I remember it seems like years ago. Well, it was years ago, but if you drove down Country Club, which it's 87 in Fountain Hills, but if you go south on it becomes Country Club south of. Here come two rental trucks, Penske rental trucks. So I'm wondering if we've got somebody moving in or moving out in the neighborhood somewhere. Anyway, so if you were to go south on Country Club, you go through the desert, and then all of a sudden it opens up, and there are some of the biggest, fattest, oldest, what are those that I want to say pine trees, because that's all we have up north that are that weird, but palm trees.
Palm tree. Yeah.
And they form a median in the road. So the road, instead of being a two-lane road out in the desert, splits up into kind of an oasis. And there are big, huge barns. It looks like a dairy farm in Wisconsin or something, with palm trees all over it. And it's the Bosch's headquarters, where they, warehouses and all that stuff. And proving that it's a local company, you could actually go down there and see the people that make up the company and all that. So it was always a point of interest in the trip between Phoenix and Tucson if you weren't taking Interstate 10.
Yeah, exactly.
Not so interesting to the audience, though. So
I will check this out, and I know any of you Arizonans that listen to this podcast would be very glad to know if Fries has gone anti-patriotic.
Yeah, and then we'll have to formulate a plan to take them over and bring them back into the reality. Anyway, I have some excellent news for those of you covered by Blue Cross Blue Shield Medicare Advantage plans in Oklahoma. This is pretty darn exciting. Randy doesn't even like me to say the words Medicare and Advantage in the same breath because they're really disadvantageous for most people. However, it turns out that there was some concern and there were contract negotiations and people stuck in the middle of the year with a Medicare Advantage plan that they would not be able to dump until the end of the year when there's an open enrollment. Those people now have less reason to worry because the OU Health, hospitals and clinics and everything, OU is Oklahoma University, the OU Medical Center hospitals and OU Health doctors and healthcare professionals are going to stay in the Blue Cross Blue Shield Medicare Advantage network. So if you've got one of their managed care plans, and I say managed care because they manage your care. They don't allow you to manage your care. They manage your care in return for some savings, for some lower cost. They take away a lot of the freedom of choice. If you're in a Medicare Advantage plan, they don't call it managed care because you have freedom of choice in choosing your own providers. They call it managed care because they're going to make the decisions as to how many hoops you have to jump through to go see a professional, specialist instead of just a GP or a PCP, primary care physician. And you won't really have much control over how easy it is to deal with that plan. But if you like the OU chain of hospitals and doctors, then rest assured that you've got them back for some period of time if you're covered by Blue Cross Blue Shield's Medicare Advantage plan. I also wanted to talk about the process that people go through when enrolling for Medicare Parts A and B. I often advise my clients, if they're not in, they're still working, covered by an employer plan, and that employer plan is not a Medicare, health savings account, an HSA, then they should go ahead when they turn 65 and apply for Medicare Part A, because as long as they've been working for a certain period of time in taxable employment, then Part A doesn't cost them anything. Part A is the part of Medicare that covers inpatient hospital, nursing home, that sort of thing, home health care. Anytime you're confined, maybe locked up, or like Randy was, laying in a bed in an isolation ward, being interrogated as to how much he knew about his location and all that. That happened when he had COVID back in the early days of COVID, I guess early 2021 or end of 2020, right? You remember when you went?
Actually, it was the beginning of 2021.
Okay, boy, and that was
Margaret was in there doing her time in the hospital at the end of 2020.
Yeah, but at least the good part was you got to keep those nice wristbands they gave you. I bet, right?
I did. I got to keep the nice wristbands. I got. What else did I keep? Oh, you remember those trays they give you that are stomped out of like cardboard?
You mean like a prison lunch tray?
Yeah,
oh, yeah, I know what those are. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they look like egg cartons, except for they stomped them out to be something else.
Yeah.
I have a fine collection of those. Here, let me show them to you. I disappeared.
You did disappear. Okay, I see that. That's interesting.
I have a fine collection of these.
Individually wrapped.
Individually wrapped. And you know why I saved them?
Because you're a cheap bastard like I am?
Well, there is part of that. That's most of it. But I also discovered that they fit in my desk drawers, my file drawers.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
They fit in there and they hang on the edge so you can have like a little doodad tray.
That's very handy. Very handy.
That's like a $4 million doodad.
Yeah. Well, my mother went to the hospital maybe 800 times in the last decades of her life. And every time she came back with all the free stuff she could grab, like, oh boy, I hit the jackpot. I get to go to the hospital again with, you know, lung malfunction. But so now I have a stack of plastic, poo-poo. they're not aids, but they're I don't know what they used them for or what they call them, but they're like plastic buckets almost, and I use them for changing the oil and putting under drips. Draining.
However, let me tell you that if they were using that for like a catching stuff, whatever that stuff was, and it's big enough to change your oil in,
yeah,
that person had some major problems.
No, that's why I backed off on my description. It had nothing to do with poo-poo, but I don't know what they called these things, but they're like plastic bowls, and I've got stacks of them. So
you mean those kidney-shaped things?
No, but there were kidney-shaped things that came along in matching colors, and I haven't figured out what to use them for.
You'll have to show me those when I come up.
You're easily entertained, I got to tell you.
I am. So I love free stuff.
Well, let me wrap this thing up. I was talking about my clients enrolling in Medicare, and there's Medicare Part A and Medicare Part B. Now, if my clients intend to enroll at age 65, they're going to enroll in both Medicare Part A and Part B. If they're working or if they're covered by other creditable insurance, they don't have to enroll in Part B right away because, frankly, they wouldn't want to because there's a monthly premium they'd have to pay. That's $170 this year. But I encourage them to enroll in Part A at the earliest possible time because when they eventually decide to enroll in Part B, it will grease the wheels. It'll grease the skids. And the government will already have them on their books. And so they'll say, all righty, we'll just add Part B. And it makes the things a little bit simpler. However, different clients in different parts of the country. Remember, I'm licensed in 50 states plus DC. And so I have clients all over the place, and they all have different, confusing, conflicting stories about how their enrollment process went and whether it was efficient or whether they're dragged on. And so this client, his wife's a couple of years younger, and he came to me and said, okay, you did a good job for me, Doug. Let me ask for your assistance in getting my wife enrolled in Medicare, and let's get her the same high deductible plan G that you gave me. And I said, that's great. Okay, start her out by going to Medicare.gov and enrolling her in Medicare Part A and B. And so he said, okay. 2 months later, this is his report on what happened. March 22nd, on behalf of his wife, he contacted the Social Security Administration national phone number and spent 45 minutes on hold to get an appointment for his wife's Medicare application. Now, that was on March 22. The appointment date he was assigned was May 17th. Now, the reason he had to get an appointment for her was that she hasn't worked, and so she is going to be eligible for Medicare based on his work history. So she'll have Medicare Part A free of charge and Medicare Part B at the normal premium rate because she is married to someone who has the necessary work history of taxable employment. So on March 22nd, 45 minutes on hold at the national phone number, made an appointment for his wife to be interviewed on May 17th. So 2 months later, on May 17th, the interview for both of us by telephone from the Seattle office, a guy named Mr. Thompson, very nice guy, but he said, see the timeline below. Remember, the wife is doing a spouse benefit thing where her benefits depend on her husband, not on her own work history. Should hear the results in 2 weeks, says Mr. Thompson. So next week, he got a letter dated May 17th, application in progress. Now, 2 weeks after that, nothing, no letter, nothing on the MyGov SSA account that they had to open, or hers either. Nothing on his account, nothing in her account. 2 weeks after that, still nothing, no letter, nothing on the MyGov SSA account, or hers either. June 14th, I called the Social Security Administration national number again, this time only 38 minutes on hold. That's a big improvement from the 45 minutes that he had to spend prior to that. And he got the message that the application is in progress at the Seattle office. Nothing new. They can't send any query or reminder over to the Seattle office or to Mr. Thompson until 60 days have passed. The next day, the very next day, June 15th, he got in his car. He dug a mask out of the glove compartment. He drove downtown. He said 15 minutes normally, not far away, but there's road construction delays everywhere in downtown Seattle. He paid $19 for parking. Take off my belt, shoes, and everything in my pockets to gain access to the federal building. And he's in the office. Victory. Now he can find Mr. Thompson and find out what's going on with his wife's Medicare application. Once in the office, no delays. Very nice lady starts typing away on her computer. Lots of typing. Turns out she's doing a chat with Mr. Thompson. He's working on her applications today. No explanation, of course, given about why he sat on it for 4 weeks, nor did I ask because I was fearing bad karma. So the next day, June 16th, he said, yep, the MyGov SSA account shows the benefits approved for both of us, and his wife's Medicare number is there too, buried in the PDF of her letter confirming Social Security benefits. Not obvious at all. But I've been around the block a few times, so I know to investigate every nook and cranny of government sites before giving up. Woohoo! Was how he ended his recitation of this particular encounter. So he started in March 22nd, and wrapped the whole thing up on June 16th. That's very close to 3 months that it took for his wife's application for Medicare to be approved and for coverage to be announced to the world by means of a letter, probably a benefit verification letter that was deposited in her online account that she started when the whole process began. So I got to tell you, that was a nightmare scenario. Other clients I have guided or suggested, you know, helped out through the scenario have had much different experiences, quick and accurate and not lengthy, not drawn out, and not problematic at all. So this is one excruciating example of how bad it can go. And there are other really nice examples of how quickly and efficiently it can go. I think it depends on who you're dealing with in the government. There doesn't seem to be any consistency. So just keep that in mind. Do your application process as early as you can. That would be exactly 90 days, the first of the month, 90 days before your birth month would be the time to start that application process if you want to have Medicare when you turn 65. So it makes me want to go have a cocktail, Randy. I'll tell you right now, I bet he had a couple after that.
I'm tired just hearing that story, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, the good news is they got the coverage in effect, but the bad news is that he had to really almost twist some arms in person to get it done on time.
You know what was popping through my head as you were describing that story?
What's that?
Doug?
What's that?
Well, there's a couple. You know, I'm a natural born skeptic.
That's what I've heard.
I don't think there was any Mr. Thompson at all.
You're right. That lady typing away furiously on her computer wasn't chatting with Mr. Thompson. She was actually trying to cover for the dragging of the feet and the incompetence of the other people.
I think that's a key word for we have not done anything on this app. I'll be chatting with Mr. Thompson while I'm putting it into the system.
Yes. And I'll push the button that says, okay, issue coverage. And there it goes.
There you go. So that's what popped into my head, me being the skeptic that I am.
Well, I'm going with that. I think your instincts are correct about that.
And the other thing that popped, just a little tiny short thing that popped into my head today was, you remember story or a saying that we used to have back in the Midwest called the beatings will continue until morale improves.
I hear Dan Bongino use that frequently, but I've never heard that until he started using it.
You probably worked for some good companies. I worked for the normal, you know, run of the mill. Well, I had it was a good company. It was a great company until it turned sour with all the new management.
Yeah.
The old management was great. So I don't want to leave that impression in people's head. But anyway, here's what that, you know, the beatings will continue until morale improves brought to mind. Our upcoming yet not approved yet, our 3-month holiday on gas tax.
Oh, gosh, that's exciting, isn't it?
I'm just looking forward to that because the other day, did I tell you that I went down and I was trying to fill up my Jeep, and sitting right in front of the pump was an installment loan officer. I had to fill out some paperwork, and he said, "No, I can't give you any gas today. Check back," kind of like Mr. Thompson. And he said, "I'll let you know how much you can have and if you can close on a full tank and when that'll be."
Boy, well, I'm glad to hear you. At least we got the process going. Now, my client took 3 months to get his wife enrolled in Medicare. I don't know how long it's going to be before you can buy gas on the loan plan or whatever. But
I know it's terrible. But I just, you know, that particular comment it triggered that in my mind because everybody's getting beaten up with the price of gas. And it's really just absolutely ridiculous that anybody thinks that a 3-month holiday on gas tax is going to make any difference in this economy.
No, never should that gas tax never should have been raised to its exorbitant amount anyway. We've always paid through the nose. Now, they say it's the highway trust fund. I have to believe that politicians manage to use some of that money for other than highway purposes or other than.
Well, it's a trust fund, all right, but it's got nothing to do with the highways. You've been in Illinois. You see the potholes compact cars, they drop into them and you never see them again.
Absolutely. In fact, there's a book by Arthur Haley called Wheels, and it's about the automobile industry and how they would build a car and then take it out and they would test it in various places on the interstate highways. And the ones in Illinois, Interstate 5, it used to be, now it's Interstate 88, was built. I remember I used to cross the construction of it while I was going to and from my local junior college. And they were out there in the middle of the night with big giant spotlights in the middle of winter, pouring concrete. And it turned into a staircase because each giant rectangular slab, you know, the ground froze underneath it at a different rate. And it was like driving up and down steps. And so they would take cars out there and drive them real fast down that interstate to see how long they lasted before the wheels fell off.
Oh, my God. So anybody in their right mind knows that you can't pour concrete in freezing weather.
Yeah, tell that to the union concrete guys. tearing the whole thing up and redoing it.
Oh, no kidding. That's surprising.
Yeah,
surprising. That's a shock. Well, I think, speaking of gas, you know, I haven't closed on my tank of gas yet, so I need to be very careful about using what I have.
Well, I hope that's the only gas you encounter.
We need to close up shop today. Thank you all for joining us. I don't have anything else to do on Thursday mornings than this, so I really look forward to it. And I always look forward to talking with my good friend and expert, Doug Jones.
Ah, now you're making me blush.
So we are going to close up shop, right, Doug?
Right. Let's tell them to buy the book. Let's tell them where they should write us if they need advice or assistance in enrolling in Medicare.
Get your pencil. I'm in a particularly good frame of mind today, so I'm going to give you 5 seconds to get your pencil.
And lick it. Be sure and lick the lid before you
lick. Did anybody ever figure out why they did that?
No, but it's only hillbillies that do it, I think.
I don't know. I'm going to have to, that'll be a hanging chad for next week.
If you could research that.
If
you could research that and let us know, that'll be our next episode.
Remind me about my dad's story about penny pencils. you know, you could cut diamonds with these things. They would never write.
Oh man.
So anyway, yeah. Here you got your pencil out. Here you go. Very carefully write down dbj@mlmmailbag.com. dbj@mlmmailbag.com. Doug looks forward to getting mail there every morning.
I sure
he
do.
He runs down to the mailbox, and if he doesn't have any, he trudges back like, oh man, why did I do that?
Yeah, I kick a can.
He kicks a can all the way home. Yeah, absolutely. And don't forget to go to Amazon. Get your paperback, the 2022 version with the green numbers. That's the one you want. You can get several. You know, think about it maybe for a 4th of July present. You know, I think that's very patriotic. Buy yourself a Doug Jones Medicare for the Lazy Man, easiest and simplest guide ever. Get several. Pass them out at your picnic.
Right.
And then
leave reviews. If you like the book.
Amazon cuts down his reviews every year because they claim it's not the same book.
Right. And so they take my reviews away, but you can help resolve that. So thank you for your efforts.
Those of you, that's a great idea. Those of you who have purchased the 2022 version of his book, log back into Amazon and start leaving reviews as a 4th of July surprise for Doug.
I would appreciate it. So anyway,
There's an audio version. There's a Kindle version. But for right now, we're going to sign off while Doug is looking out the windows with his binoculars from his fortress of solitude at 12,243 feet. And he's just making sure that everything's okay. So you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma. And he brought you some good news from Oklahoma today.
Yes, I did.
So bottom line is take care of Doug and send him some email.
Bye-bye.